Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, it is almost dinner time. What are you doing? My suggestion, Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. They have two great locations in the Denver metro area. One is in North Denver. The other one is the one I go to in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road. They smoke their everything pretty much. I mean, their ribs, their chicken wings, their brisket, their chicken, their pork. But I'm going to give you something else to try. How about the smoked meatloaf? Yes, smoked meatloaf. It has ground pork, sweet Italian sausage, porter beer, smoked cheddar, and it is served with a portobello balsamic cream sauce, which is unbelievable. First time I had it, I could have eaten that just with a spoon. It is that good. It is also served with cornbread and a couple of sides, and the sides are great. Love the mac and cheese. The coleslaw is fantastic. And if you really like good baked beans, those beans are made with bacon and pork and brisket. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That is a dinner. That is Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. We're going to give away $20 in the second hour of the show. Mace, how are you?
That's a heck of a blend for meatloaf. That sounds awesome.
Oh, their food is so unbelievable. I have never been to a barbecue joint like this in my life where it's not just great barbecue, but the non-barbecue options are great, like the chicken marsala. It's as good as any five-star restaurant, and the desserts are fantastic. If you have never been, you need to go, and I can promise you, whatever barbecue place you go to, you're going to make a change. I'm telling you, it's going to be Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. In the meantime, what's going on, man?
Oh, you know, just the countdown to training camp is underway. You know, a week from now, when we open up this show, we're going to be talking about the first day of Broncos
training camp. Wait a minute. We got the media barbecue, so we're going to have lots of interviews as well.
The day before, yes. Yeah. So we're going to have talking points on Tuesday, and then we're going to have training camp on Wednesday. I mean, really, and actually, this was brought up by Scott Hastings of Altitude last night. The NBA finals go late. Yep. I kind of enjoyed the NBA going to mid-July.
And butts us up. It bookends us, doesn't it?
Yeah, because now you basically, we're only trying to string together a week here until we get to training camp.
Right.
It's great.
And by the way, as far as today's show goes, I like to think that we've put together really good shows. But today's show, there is so much meat on every single bone in every single segment. I can't wait to get to it, so let's do it. Here's the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, who scored 50 points in last night's clinching game over the Suns, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Bucks winning their last title, had this to say after the game. It's easy to go somewhere and go win championships with somebody else. Clearly, I don't know. I don't want to say he's taking a dig at LeBron. I don't want to say he's taking a dig at Kevin Durant, but maybe he is. He is. You added, it's easy. I can go to a super team and just do my part and win a championship. But this is the hard way to do it. And this is the way to do it. And we did it. We effing did it. So, when you look back on the history of what we have seen over the last 10, 15 years with super teams being formed, LeBron going to L.A., having Anthony Davis, LeBron going to Miami, Wade and Bosch, Kevin Durant going to Golden State, a team that had already won a championship. Are you giving a little bit more of a nod to Giannis?
A little bit, but don't get me wrong here. The Bucks did make a huge move last summer. to trade for Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday is the third best player on that team.
He is, but that...
Hold on.
But remember, that
he's
was
the third best player on that team.
But that was the move that kind of cemented the further commitment to building a team around Giannis. And then a few months later, what does he do? He signs a $228 million extension.
Third best player on the team. Because Middleton, who was a draft pick, second round, by the way.
He was a draft pick at the Pistons. They got him a year after that, though.
Point is that they were essentially a homegrown team. Yeah. Please don't tell me about bringing Drew Holiday and he was the final piece. You can make the case defensively he was terrific. He was a big piece, kind of like Andre Iguodala going to the Golden State Warriors.
He showed their commitment is what it was. And that, because remember, at this time last year, the Bucks lose in the conference semifinals to the Heat, and there's a question of, is he going to sign another extension? And the Holiday trade kind of said, okay, they're all in, and then Giannis signed the $228 million deal and fell in line. I think it's less the quality of the player and more what it symbolized for that franchise to say, we're going to go beyond the luxury tax. We're going to spend what it takes so you have what you need to guide us to the promised land, and it worked out.
Before the start of free agency, and I'm going back many years, where guys really didn't change teams that much. When you look at recent champions, listen, Toronto needed to get Kawhi. I'm not suggesting Golden State would not have won a title if they didn't have Andre Iguodala. And now you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and they have Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes you might need a piece. It's pretty hard to draft a team and then that team wins a title just by homegrown talent.
There's always a
not even coming. Golden State was able to do that.
Why? And even, I mean, you could say fourth best player on the team, but even the Chicago Bulls needed to trade for Bill Cartwright.
No question.
And then they needed to get Dennis Rodman for the second run.
The Bulls would have had a difficult time getting by Patrick Ewing had they not traded for lack of a better phrase, Patrick Ewing's stablemate.
Who knew every
Bill
move
Cartwright.
Inside and out.
The Bulls needed Dennis Rodman, to your point. Most teams need an extra piece, but I'm not going to fault Giannis for needing an extra piece, nor am I going to fault Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Right.
Sometimes, but a lot of times, the extra piece needs to be a star. Iguodala, not a star.
Complimentary players are different.
There we go. Yes. Complimentary players. So with that, if you had your choice, would you rather do it Antetokounmpo's way, knowing you might not win a championship ever, or do what Kevin Durant did and join Golden State?
I like
what. What's more gratifying to you? Is it the ring? Because I want a ring. No one's going to take that away from you. Or would you rather be the star of the team and, you know, hopefully they can put some pieces around you?
It's tough because for the player, the ring is the ring, right? I mean, does DeMarcus Ware's ring mean less because he came to Denver at the end of his career after the Cowboys cut him?
It's different.
It's very
different because DeMarcus Ware was a piece. At the end of the day, you can make the case he wasn't even the fifth best defensive player on the team. You can make that case.
You can make the case. I disagree, but you can make the case.
You can easily make the case. When you bring in a LeBron, he's the best player on your team. When you bring in Kevin Durant, he's the best player on your team.
I mean, certainly.
And in a sport that is about numbers, five guys on the floor, you have a bigger impact as a LeBron James, as a Kevin Durant.
Importing an alpha is more cynical.
So what would you rather do?
You know what? You'd rather, I mean, obviously, if you're just thinking about...
I'm talking about if you're a star.
If you're a star
Not a complimentary player.
See, I'm also thinking about the fans. Like, if you're... with all respect...
I'm not asking you about the fans. I'm asking if you're a player. If you're a player, remember something.
If you're a player, you want the ring by any means necessary.
If you're Drew Holiday, you want the ring by any means necessary because he cannot lead a team by himself to a title. But if you're Giannis... If you are LeBron, if you are Durant, you have the talent as long as talent is put around
you.
And
the thing with Durant is, I think that's kind of the most cynical one of all. At least LeBron, he went to the Heat, and clearly he was the guy leading things.
And Wade was still in his prime.
He's still in his prime. But you had Durant going to Golden State. Great player for Golden State. But that's Steph Curry's team.
Listen.
And it remains Steph Curry's team.
I'm going to sum it up in a
second. So he went from being the alpha to being a complimentary guy.
Well,
in a way.
He was the best player on that team.
But
I don't care whose team it was. He was the best player on that team. But I'll sum it up in one sentence. He joined a team that had just won a championship.
Yeah.
Period.
They might have won another one even without him.
Listen, if they had not won a championship before Durant arrived, the narrative is different. He joined a team that had just won a title.
Rich get richer.
So basically what I'm trying to say is they didn't need him. He needed them. And when LeBron went back to Cleveland, Kyrie Irving was already on the roster.
But Kyrie wasn't winning anything without LeBron.
I understand that, but Kyrie was already on the roster.
And it was still still a bad team. When it was just Kyrie, it was a bad team. And then all of a sudden LeBron walks back in and they're instant contenders.
And then they get Kevin Love. They got Kevin Love.
Yeah, but it tells you who the alpha was.
Well, we know who the alpha was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it was when LeBron walked into that locker room, it ceased to be Kyrie's team and it became LeBron's team.
Right. Coming up after the break, Patrick Saunders had an interesting report in the Denver Post today having to do with Trevor Story and the Rockies, and maybe things are starting to heat up as the trade deadline approaches. That's next.
Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale, not retail, wholesale lumber, to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are a business owner, finding the right location for your business, yeah, big decision. So my suggestion is this, whether you're buying, selling, or leasing, you need to work with my friend Heather Taylor and her team at Impact Commercial Real Estate. They're going to have 9 people working with you, over 50 years experience. And you know what? They are ranked in the top 10 in the Denver metro area. So not only working with a lot of great people with a lot of experience, but you're also working with a company that is recognized as one of the best in the Denver metro area. They are hands-on. They think out of the box through creative, thoughtful, dynamic real estate services. So if it's buying, selling, leasing, they have a lot of experience with large developers and small business owners. I'm telling you, they're going to make an impact for you. Go with the best. I'm talking about Impact Commercial Real Estate. Find them at impactcommercial.co. That's impactcommercial.co. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, Mace, per Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post, 2 sources tell him that 6 to 8 teams have engaged the Rockies about a trade for Trevor Story. Interim manager Bill Schmidt said that number is a little high. In the meantime, the Athletics' Jim Bowden, who used to be a GM with the Reds, writes, "The Reds, A's, Indians, and Cardinals should be calling Colorado about Trevor Story, and Bowden believes the Reds are the best fit." Do you see those teams as great fits?
They make some sense. I guess if the Cardinals trade for Trevor Story, how much cash are the Rockies going to send as part of the deal?
I don't know.
I mean, it's $50 million to take Nolan Arenado off their hands. I know it's not the same thing, but
right?
It's a sarcastic question that's always worth asking if they deal with the Cardinals once again.
I don't see why any of those teams would be interested. None of them are in the playoffs if the playoffs started today. Now, I understand Trevor Story could make a difference. I'm with you on that.
Well, that's the whole
point.
As
you're eagerly looking up the standings, I've already done it. So look at the teams. Right now, the A's, yes. But they're not going to make that type of move. Listen, they might be moving their entire franchise, and they don't make moves like that. The Reds, they're not in the playoffs right now. Indians, they're not in the playoffs right now. Cardinals are barely staying afloat.
I mean, the Reds are ahead of the Cardinals. The Cardinals make no sense.
Right.
But the problem is the Cardinals as a franchise are not used to punting on a season, even though sitting there at 47-48, eight games back of the Brewers, and then I believe their distance back from the third wild card, which is currently held by the Padres, is 7.5 games. So it makes not much sense for the Reds, although the Reds only have to overtake the Brewers, and they may say, hey, we're a Brewers slump away from being back in it. The Cardinals have so much more to overcome that it makes no sense unless they're just in denial. Like, you, for example, the Cubs and Cardinals are both 47-48. Mm-hmm. The Cubs have already divested themselves of Jock Peterson.
Yep.
The Cubs are already sellers. The Cardinals really should be sellers too.
Okay.
But if a team fancies themselves a buyer and they're willing to pay a premium, then you certainly engage that team. The problem is, does Bill Schmidt know what's in the Cardinals farm system?
Well, actually,
because of what we've discussed.
It's funny you should say that, because all the information is in. Mm-hmm. About all these players they could potentially be looking at. Mm-hmm. It's just as of 3-4 days ago, they haven't had a chance to look at it, but they're looking at this stuff right now. So I suppose we will see if any of this stuff pans out.
I mean, it's funny because, like, you know, there was a time maybe going into the season where the Brewers could have been tempted. Willy Adames is having a career season at short right now. There's no reason for the Brewers to pick him up.
Okay.
The Brewers, it's a small list of teams right now. Now, you start looking at just lineups overall. You look at the Mets, they got Francisco Lindor on the injured list. How long is he going to be out? If Lindor's absence is extended, even though he's had a rotten season to this point, okay, then the Mets would make sense as a trade partner. But if Lindor is going to be back in a few weeks, then the Mets probably are wisest to just hang on at this point. There's not a lot of options here for the Rockies.
I'll tell you the team that makes the most sense, my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because from what I've been told, this is how, and it makes sense for both sides actually, this is how Bill Schmidt has actually tried to sell Trevor Story to other teams. Don't play second base. The White Sox make a lot of sense. Got a pretty good farm system. They have guys they can trade. You move them to second base. Find me a better middle infield than Tim Anderson and Trevor Story. Can you? Because I can't.
No.
Nope. How does that team look? And right now, the White Sox are the best team in the American League. Add Story's bat to Anderson. Abreu, wow, right?
Makes
Moncada,
sense.
Moncada, Story, wow. It's quite a lineup, don't you think? Move to second, rent him. Have a chance to really go for it if you're the White Sox.
And the other
you're not moving Anderson.
The other key thing is when you're looking at the White Sox is it's a farm system that still has depth.
That's right.
That they have been building from within, but they have not fished their pond dry of prospects.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying. It makes sense for both sides.
But again, how well does Schmidt know the farm system?
Well, he does have scouts out there. He doesn't have Weil, who understands the farm system better, right, but they are doing their research on it, right?
And I hope so.
I mean, if you are Tony La Russa and Jerry Reinsdorf, would you rather have Nick Madrigal, who is batting 300, but no power whatsoever, or Trevor Story?
They need
Trevor Story can make the switch easily to second base.
They just need another bat with thump.
That's what you're getting. That's what Trevor is. And you're getting a terrific defensive player, at least at short. I'm sure he could figure it out. The White Sox, for both sides, make the most sense. And you know what? If Trevor Story goes to the White Sox, even though I grew up a Cubs fan, I would cheer on the White Sox just to see him win.
And the thing is, there's actually a pretty good chance the White Sox would re-sign him as well.
Maybe. I don't know where they are in terms of their salary.
I mean, as you know, certainly compared with the Cubs, the Sox are a much more budget-minded, budget-conscious franchise.
The White Sox are. Well, listen, but they haven't had to pay a lot of guys recently. They gutted their team and went young and knew they'd be bad for a long time. And now, look at them. They did what the Astros did,
and minus the cheating. And Reinsdorf has a history of when he's got a team that's in its window of paying up. He did that back in the 2000s and got a World Series out of it in 2005. So Trevor Story going to the White Sox, and that's another component of the deal. If you're a team that's considering dealing for Trevor Story, do you plan on re-signing him? There's a pretty clear window to do that because, as we've talked about on this show a lot, the way the contending teams are stacked at shortstop, there may not be suitors lining up to sign Trevor Story, and even then you also have a potentially depressed free agent market because revenues are still not back to where they were pre-COVID. So the White Sox would make a lot of sense short and long term, and I think if Trevor went to Chicago, he might stay on the south side of Chicago for a while.
Let's see what Jerry Reinsdorf offers. Let's just see what he offers. Coming up after the break, we have whether you want to call it a potential tsunami, earthquake, hurricane coming to college football. And this is a huge story. We don't talk a lot of college football around here, but this one could completely shape the landscape of college football. That's next.
Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
All right, huge news out of college football. This coming from the Houston Chronicle. Texas and Oklahoma of the Big 12 have both reached out to the SEC about potentially joining the league. This, again, according to the Houston Chronicle today, an announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning the potential addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, giving the SEC 16 schools and making it the first of a national super conference. I think all of us knew this was eventually coming, that there might be four conferences, 16 teams. With that, do you think the Big 12 would be toast?
Toast? It depends how quickly they react. I think it's possible that either the Big 12 or the American Athletic Conference are toast. It's possible that the American Athletic Conference ends up being toast because the Big 12 poaches it. I mean, you could easily see if everyone's going to 16 teams, you could easily see dominoes falling to where the Big 10 poaches a couple of, maybe they poach KU and Iowa State at the north end, and then what's left of the Big 12 merges with a good chunk of the American. So it'd be like Houston, SMU, UCF, USF, Cincinnati, Memphis as kind of a leftover conference.
I'm going to read you a text that I sent to a high-ranking Pac-12 official. I said to him, in a perfect world, if you could poach four teams from the Big 12, who would they be?
Mm-hmm.
Know what his answer was?
What?
None.
None. None of them make sense for the Pac-12.
Then I said, what about poaching TCU and Houston? They are in Texas. Houston, not in the Pac-12, or not in the Big 12.
Houston's not. TCU is.
TCU is. And I said, listen, they're big television markets. You're getting Houston, you're getting Dallas. Or do you think there is no reason to expand? He said, let's get Oklahoma and Texas. Jokingly, he said that back to me. I said, well, obviously they're out, right? I mean, I know him well enough. I know he's joking. I said, any other teams the Pac-12 should go after? And he said, no. Now,
Pac-12's kind of stuck because if they're going to expand their footprint, they have to become the most geographically unwieldy conference in all of college sports.
I talked to another Pac-12 official. What he said to me was this, and there are a couple of challenges. Number one, you go to the Pac-12, you're talking two time zones.
And it would become three if you go into Texas.
Well, you're already they're central.
Yeah, you're already at two. You're at Pacific and Mountain.
That's my point. Yeah, two time zones over.
Okay, yeah.
So Kansas plays at Cal, and the game starts at 10:30. That's not going to work for Kansas. It's not going to work for Kansas State. It's not going to work for Iowa State. Number two, the Pac-12 is a little snobby about their academics. And KU, K-State, Iowa State, they are not going to fit that type of academic that they want.
They don't fit on the level of Cal, Stanford. They do fit on the level of Washington State, Oregon State.
But they don't fit on their grandfather. Hold on. Cal, Stanford, USC, UCLA.
Yeah, they don't fit on that level. They fit on the level of Wazoo, Oregon State, the Arizona
school,
Utah.
Right.
But yes, there are elements of the Pac-12, and CU is included in this element, that thinks they're a Western version of the Big Ten, public Ivies.
Here is something else this Pac-12 official told me. Not the guy's text I wrote, but somebody else. When you look at the Pac-12, when it comes to television markets, no one has larger television markets. You have San Francisco, Phoenix, Denver, Los Angeles, Seattle. Which Pac-12 school outside of TCU would fit?
Which Big 12 school?
Yeah, not Kansas City. I mean, they're in the 30s.
There's almost nobody. It stops it at TCU, and then why you said Houston, even though they're in American, because they're a huge market.
Right, but that is not, we talked about, is not the Big 12. I'll tell you who this could benefit. Colorado State. Colorado State might get an invite from the Big 12. Colorado State could be the school that benefits the most.
They could, but the thing that may be working against them is that there's probably more to be gained if the Big 12 is trying to survive by looking east rather than west, because the schools that I would point to. SMU, yeah, they have the market with TCU, but they kind of lock down the Metroplex. They get Houston if they add this. And then you go east and look at Cincinnati, which is, I believe, a top 25 market. Central Florida, UCF.
I don't think they're top 25, but that's okay.
UCF is in Orlando. USF is in Tampa.
Wait, are you talking about for the Pac-12?
For the Big 12. I'm talking about the Big 12 surviving.
Oh, yeah, that's...
The Big 12 surviving. The Pac-12, is pretty much stuck as it is unless they want to kind of get off the academic high horse and add BYU. And I don't see that happening. Or Boise.
Well, I don't know if the Pac-12...
There's not enough to be gained by adding BYU or Boise.
I do not know if the Pac-12 is going to allow BYU to have its own television network.
Well, that would be part of the deal. They would have to give that up completely. And the other thing...
By the way, Cincinnati is the 37th largest market.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing Cincinnati would do for the Big 12 is they would give West Virginia a geographic rival.
Well,
the Big 12, if the Big 12 is going to survive, if they get poached, I do think they look at the Florida schools and they look at SMU and Houston.
I think West Virginia is making a call to the ACC because they can take on a team.
I don't think the ACC wants West Virginia.
Why?
They're already regretful enough over adding Louisville in that conference. The ACC would prefer to have Notre Dame as a full-time member.
Doesn't the ACC have 15 teams?
Including Notre Dame, yes.
Yeah, well, now you have 16.
What would actually make more sense for the ACC, especially given their strength in basketball, would be to add Connecticut.
Connecticut?
You're already up in the Northeast with BC. Well,
but they have nothing to offer. Jim Calhoun is no longer there.
They have a lot more to offer than West Virginia does.
West Virginia. West Virginia traditionally has a very good football team and a better than average basketball team.
And rinky-dink markets.
I understand that. Let's look at Rutgers. It makes no sense for them to be in the Big Ten.
They went there, but they're there because of the market size.
That's right.
And that's why if you're the ACC and you added anybody, it'd be, okay, how do we get another market? The ones that would probably make more sense to the ACC, believe it or not, would be UConn and Temple, because Temple would get you into Philadelphia.
Getting back to Kansas, I would think they'd be on the phone to the Big Ten. Hey, we got a great basketball program, and we're right down the road from Kansas City.
That's why I think
less than 40 miles.
That's why I think you could see if the Big Ten decided to make the leap to 16, I think even though one of these schools wouldn't add any more markets, I think you'd see Kansas and Iowa State making the jump.
Well, Iowa State is in a fortunate position where they finally have a good football team.
And they also,
I don't know how much longer that's going to
last.
They're
also already part of the AAU, the Association of American Universities,
right. which
the Big Ten waived with Nebraska, but generally they're pretty serious about, and KU's in the AAU as well.
I'll tell you this. If Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, and it wouldn't surprise me if they do, and Kansas goes to the Big Ten, the Big 12 should no longer be in the bowl championship series as some sort of an automatic bid. They should be out.
I imagine they will have expanded the playoff beyond four teams to 8 or 12.
Well,
in which case then. It would probably, that's why,
let me rephrase,
it would probably
it.
Involve them poaching the American for a bunch of teams
let
that
me
have proven
rephrase
they can contend
that.
Anyway.
Let me rephrase that then. The bowl alliance that is currently set up, the bowl alliances currently set up with the Big 12 will likely drop like a bowling ball off a table. The Big 12 will no longer have 5 guaranteed bowl games. They are the only conference, major conference, without a television network. And now the pancake batter has been so thinned out, you can barely get a good tasting pancake out of it.
It'll be a matter of survival, and it'll be it.
And that's where Colorado State might benefit.
Yeah, if they go west, but I think it's more likely based on their footprint that they look east to the American rather than west to CSU.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, we're going to keep it with the college football topics, and we're going to talk about a couple of ACC quarterbacks who have partnered with a fast food chicken restaurant. That's coming up next right here on the other side on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Masterpiece Roofing, recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Their customers love them. Well over 85-star Google reviews. We've had a lot of hail recently, and one guy who's familiar with that is my friend John from Masterpiece Roofing. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Eric. How about you?
I am guessing you have been a busy bee, and I'm guessing the insurance companies are sick of you by now.
Oh, yeah, they sure are. I'm actually out in a neighborhood right now bringing our service straight to our customer's front door.
So let's say somebody does get hail damage, or maybe their paint gets damaged, or their gutters or their windows or their siding get damaged by hail. For someone who might be going through this right now, what is the process they get the pleasure of when working with you guys at Masterpiece Roofing?
Well, the first step is to call us and have us come over and take a look and inspect your roof just to make sure there's enough hail damage that the insurance company is going to pay for it. We don't want to waste your time, our time, or the insurance company's time if there's not enough damage on your roof. This inspection is free and it's no obligation. So give us a call and we'll come out and take a look. Then if you do have enough hail damage, we'll sit down on speakerphone and call your insurance company and file the claim with you. Then we'll actually meet your insurance adjuster at your property on the day of his inspection and walk around with him and point out all the damages that we've found, so that he can't accidentally walk past some damages and accidentally not pay for it.
How often does this phrase come out of your mouth? No. You missed a spot over there.
It happens just about every single inspection, though, you know, some of these adjusters really know what they're doing. But you do get some greenhorns every now and then, and you have to point out stuff to them left and right. You can usually tell right when they get out of their truck if they're in a good mood and if they know what they're doing.
Well, how do you deal with guys that don't know what they're doing? Because I'm guessing there are plenty of guys and gals out there like that.
Yeah, we do get some new ones every now and then. I had one the other day where I had a stone-coated steel roof, and the adjuster walked up and said, "What kind of roof is this? I've never seen one of these before."
You know what? You know what that phrase is also bad with? Surgery. If the doctor is standing over you and they say, "I've never seen this before," that's a problem. And actually, you know what? I'm not going to get too far into the story. I actually had a doctor say that to me.
Oh, no. And well, I'm thinking, glad you're still with us.
I am still with you. So when the guy said he's never seen this, what did you say?
Well, I explained to him that it was a stone-coated steel roof and took him up on the roof, pointed out all the damages, had him take photos of the different damages. Then I walked him around the property, showed them all the other collateral damage that proves that there was hail on site. And sure enough, he took that back to his supervisor, and his supervisor helped him write the estimate, and they paid for a full replacement of the whole roof.
Generally speaking, if somebody does this by themselves, or they work with a company that doesn't really go after insurance companies, what kind of, you know, listen, these are round numbers here, but what kind of percentage would you say the insurance company pays for if they don't work with a Masterpiece Roofing, as opposed to working with John at Masterpiece Roofing?
Well, you could lose as much as 50%. Wow. It's almost like going to court without a lawyer.
Right.
I've seen claims come back where the customer had filed the claim themselves and had no contractor there on site. That claim started out at $10,000. Once we submitted all our photographs and all our documentation, it went up to $20,000. So
wow, good
for you.
You
can see them sometimes go up 50%.
Okay, so if you have hail damage, if you have damage to your gutters, your painting, your windows, your siding, you need to work with Masterpiece Roofing. You can work with John. You're going to possibly work with somebody else who is just as good as John. Sorry, John, I know you're great. But I know you have a lot of great people at Masterpiece Roofing. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. That's MasterpieceRoofing.com. John, have a great day, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the deals keep rolling in as the name, image, likeness era is upon us. UNC's Sam Howell and Clemson's DJ Uagalele have partnered with Bojangles. If you are a college athlete right now, seeking endorsements with various companies, who would be your ideal corporate partner?
It's a great question.
It's a great question. You know, if you're in the Carolinas and you're a quarterback, Bojangles is about as good as you're going to get all over the place. It's a hyper regional chain, and I can tell you from experience, having lived out there, it's pretty dadgum good.
Right.
That if I were playing for a school in the Carolinas, Bojangles would probably be at or near the top of my list.
All right, I'm not trying to kiss ass when I say this, and I cannot go through every one. I love Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew.
Yeah.
I believe in Masterpiece Roofing. I believe in Impact Real Estate and Siltahar Motors. Here's the thing, is that when we bring partners on the show, if they are not good, we don't bring them on the show, because if they're not good, they affect every other partner on the show. I'll tell you just a quick little nugget. Many, many, many years ago, I went to a barbecue place and had a meeting with them to bring them on the show. Mm-hmm. The meeting was on a Thursday. I went in on a Tuesday, unannounced. I sat down and I had lunch there, and the food was terrible, and I canceled the meeting. I said, I can't bring them on the show.
Because you couldn't vouch for them, because it's not a good meal.
I just recently, there was an ED company that wanted to come on our show. I heard terrible things about them. And I said to, no joke, I said to their media buyer, I've heard horror stories about them. They sell you stuff that you don't need, and I can't represent them. So everybody I talk about on the show, no joke, I want to represent them. So anybody that I believe in, I would represent in a second. But I have to be a customer, or I have to believe in them.
Yeah.
You gotta believe in the people.
You got to like the product. I mean,
I'm being dead serious about that.
I mean, I can think of, you know, a dozen restaurants that I really enjoy, that I go to regularly, that I'm like, okay,
right,
I could represent any of them.
Right.
I believe in the product.
And you know what? I'll give you another place. Mountain High Appliance. I know I'm segueing into it.
That's a good segue, though.
Well, but
because you can try before you buy.
Right. But it is true. They are absolutely the best in town. And where else can you try out appliances before you buy them? I know a lot of the people there. Their sales staff, they've been there for decades. If you're going to make a purchase like that, you want people to ask you the right questions. And that can give you answers. Those are the type of companies I want to work with. That is Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville. You can find them in Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Bet Online have come out with the odds for the upcoming NBA season. Where are the Nuggets on the list? That's next.